We have been in a series on the story of God now for a few weeks. I think this is the fifth week. It started off really just being a four-part series, and it just kind of expanded. And we're supposed to talk about the fact that we started off with creation, and then talk about the fall, and then the redemption, and then finally a restoration. But we've kind of extended a little bit. There's just so much to talk about. And so, but we did begin talking about the creation story. And one of the things that we said about the creation story is that God is good. That's one of the main points that we get from the creation story, is that God is good. And that He is eternal, and that He is the creator of everything. And that He is a God of purpose. God doesn't just create something without a purpose. He always creates things with purpose in mind. And so we realize from this story of creation that we are not self-made men and women. And we see really throughout the creation story, if you remember from that, that was several weeks ago, is that we saw that every time God would create something, He would end it by saying, what? It's good. As a matter of fact, when He created man and woman, He said, hey, it is really good. And so somebody say amen. All right. And then after that, we start talking about the next part was called the fall in the story of God, and how that God created everything that was good, and then the fall came. The fall was a result of the sin, Adam and Eve, and the partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because of that, sin entered the world. And sin really is a corruption of good. God created everything good and beautiful. But sin comes, and sin distorts, it disfigures, it perverts good things. And we know from that story that Adam and Eve up to that time lived in just openness with God and great fellowship and communion with God, and just enjoyed the presence of God that we sang about, that Bethany was talking about today, just that beautiful time in fellowship with the Lord. But because of sin, they became ashamed because of their nakedness. And they realize that they become self-conscious. And really, this is one of the most important things, and we're kind of recapping here, but one of the most important things I want you to get from this is that it was the first time that they were worried about what God thought about them. That's an amazing concept, because up to that time, they never worried about what God thought about them. They were made in His image. They were His son and daughter, and they were in fellowship with God. They never had any question about the love that God had for them, and they never had any question about their fellowship with Him. But all of a sudden, when sin entered the world, and when disobedience, because of disobedience and the fall, all of a sudden, now they were worried about what God was thinking about them. Isn't that interesting? And what did that make them do? That made them hide, right? And that's what we still do today, right? We still hide, and we have this concept of God that He's out to get us, and that He's out just to correct us all the time. Hopefully, in this series on the story of God, that your concept and my concept will change. And we'll be able to see God as He really is, that God is for us, that God is on our side, that God is actually pursuing us. And we saw in that story of the fall that after they hid from God, God still pursued them. What an amazing thing, amen? What an amazing thing that we don't go looking for God. We don't find God. Come on, somebody. God finds us. Is that right? Come on. He found us. I mean, when we were messed up and we were no good, we had nothing to offer Him. He found us and He saved us. And so this is a story of God. And so we went on from then to talk about the... let me just say this real quick. I'm still recapping. Is that in that story, even though the fall and they were kicked out of the garden was actually mercy, that God removed them from the garden, an act of mercy. But then God actually clothed them and gave them clothes. I mean, just an amazing to see the concept of God and how much He loves us. And then not only that, He makes this promise that to the woman, that from your seed is going to come a redeemer. It's going to crush the head of the serpent, speaking of Satan. Just an amazing thing. And so we begin to see this prophecy and the fulfillment of that word all the way through. And Pastor Mark talked about the story of Noah. And that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then last week he talked about Abraham, the blessing. And how, what's so interesting about Abraham is we don't even think about this, but Abraham's father, and Pastor Mark mentioned this, I thought it was just incredibly interesting that he mentioned this, is that Abraham's father was an idol worshiper. Abraham himself seems to indicate that he was an idol worshiper. So it's an amazing thing that Abraham wasn't this great man, but it was God that came looking, and God chose him in this, even as an idol worshiper. Isn't that amazing? I mean, to me, that's amazing that God would just come to him and say, listen, Abraham, this really has nothing to do with you. It's just about my goodness. Oh, come on, somebody. Isn't that good? Amen. That God chooses us, not because we're good, but because he's good. And so we saw that in the story of Abraham and this idea that God wants to bless us. And God, Pastor Mark, again, he talked about how God entered into that covenant how that God is the one that walked through and sealed the covenant because he knew that Abraham couldn't keep his side of the bargain. So God had to keep both sides of the bargain. And so now it brings us to where we're at today, and we're gonna just talk for a few minutes. I don't have a lot of time today, but that's all right. We just enjoy the presence of God. Amen. But one of the things that God said to Abraham is that he was going to make him a great nation, right? The nation of Israel was going to come from him, and he was going to be a great blessing, and he was going to give him a great name. Just an amazing thing. And so through all of these stories, I hope that you can see that God is good. I hope that you can see that God is perfect, God is right. And even though that man, that we seek our own way, and even though that we rebel against God, God still pursues us, and God keeps his covenant with us, even when we can't keep our side. And God wants relationship with us, and God wants to be close to us. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because we see from the story, as the story moves on in the story of God, after Abraham, his seed, the children of Israel come, and they enter through Egypt. God uses Joseph to not only save the nation of Egypt, but also the nation of Israel from starvation. And that's a great story, but I don't have time to talk about Joseph today. And then there comes, after so many years, I think 400 years later, there's, for 400 years, that children of Israel enter into slavery because there's another king, another Pharaoh that rises up that doesn't know Joseph and what Joseph did for the Egyptians. And so the story goes that now the children of Israel, they're in bondage, and God gets a deliverer, and he calls this man Moses, who's actually a murderer, who kills a man. Another interesting story. But we don't have time to talk about that either. Amen. But God brings the people of Israel out of Egypt in just really an amazing miracles and series of plagues and just incredible stuff that happens, and God brings them out of Egypt in a miraculous way, and they cross through the Red Sea, and the armies of Pharaoh and the Egyptians are chasing them, and God just miraculously brings them out. Just incredible stories that I'm just skipping through to get to what I want to talk about today for just a few minutes. I want to just talk to you today, and I want to begin in Exodus 19. Exodus 19, we're going to be beginning in verse 3. And this is now when the children of Israel, they're in the wilderness now, and they're going to be meeting on the same mountain. God wants to meet with them on the same mountain that he met with Moses when he spoke from the burning bush. And so here they are in Exodus 19 in verse 3. And I just want to just kind of read through just a few things today. It says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, excuse me, and that you are to tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you out to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all of the nations, you will be my treasured possessions. And although the whole earth is mine, You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Would you say that? Say a kingdom. Kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. And again, what this was a confirmation of the covenant that God had made with Abraham, that He was going to make him a great nation and that He was going to be a blessing. So what God intended for the nation of Israel, what they were going to be a reflection of His glory, that God wanted them to be a kingdom of priests, the whole nation to be a kingdom of priests where they would be a blessing to other nations. Okay? That was God's intention. The story goes on in Exodus verse 16, still in chapter 19. It says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and there was lightning. This is God. He's meeting with them. And a thick cloud covered the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. And everyone in the camp trembled. And then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai. It was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Isn't that amazing? The smoke billowed from it like the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And then Moses spoke and the voice of God answered. And then in Exodus 20, in verse 18, just continue the story, it says, and when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with what? Fear. And they stayed what? I want you to look at that. Pay close attention to that. They stayed at a distance. God wanted to meet with them. He wanted to make them all, not just one man, but all of them to be a kingdom of priests. Kings and priests, a nation that would bring healing. But they stayed at a distance because of their fear. And Moses said, speak to us. And they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die. Isn't that interesting? Moses, you talk to God. He's a scary fella. You just go talk to Him and you tell us what God says and we will just listen to you. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning. But the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. And so this is what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes this morning. Is this is really the story of God. Is that God wants to get close and we run and hide. Haven't we seen this in the story of God so far? Is even all the way back with Adam, that God and Eve, that God wants to spend time with them. He comes looking for a relationship, for fellowship. He wants to get close and we run and hide. Why do we run and hide? Why do we run away from God? Why do we stay back? Why do we pull back? I believe it is because of our sin consciousness. We're afraid. We know ourselves, and we sense the holiness of His presence and we run in shame. Now I want you to think about this. If we go back to the story of creation and Adam and Eve, of God being with them and walking with them in that garden, before the fall, before sin entered the world, do you think they felt any sense of shame or unworthiness? Absolutely not, right? They just enjoyed the presence of God. They knew that they belonged. They knew that they were accepted. It was only after sin stripped them of their innocence and their covering of glory that they felt unworthy to enjoy God's presence. An awareness of sin will cause you to shrink back from the presence of God. You mentioned Isaiah. The first thing when he saw the presence of God was what? Woe is me. I am unclean. And this is what is so damaging about sin, is it robs you of your confidence before God. Did you hear that? Because that's important. Sin robs you. One of the most devastating consequences of sin is that it robs you of your confidence to come before God and enter into His presence with boldness. It robs you of that confidence so that you can just boldly come and spend time with your Father in relationship and fellowship. I love what 1 John 3:19-20 says. For if your heart condemns us, God is what? He's greater than our heart. Isn't that amazing? So listen, even if your heart condemns you, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And so God wanted to dwell among its people. And the story goes on that God says, listen, I want you to build a special place for me to live among you. I want to live among the people that I love. And so they built this dwelling place for God called the tabernacle. And they had an outer room. And again, Bethany, you were talking about it earlier. You had an outer room called the holy place. And then inside the room was the most holy. Thank you. Thank you, Deli. There you go right there. And it was separated, and this was a tabernacle. And this is, God said, listen, I want to come and be among you, but because of your sin, I'm going to have to separate. I want to be close, but I'm still going to have to separate myself. And so we have the inner court, the holy place, where the table of bread was, and the lampstand, the altar and incense. But then there was a curtain that divided the most holy place. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now, this is important. I'm not going to go into all details, but I just wanted to show this real quick because this is fascinating to me. On top of the ark was what we called the mercy seat. Everybody say the mercy seat. It's the two angels that covered over, golden angels that covered the Ark of the Covenant. It was called the mercy seat. And that's where the priest would come and pour the blood sacrifice, and it was consumed by the presence of God. It's an amazing thing, the mercy seat. But the curtain separated us from the presence of God. He was close, but He still had to be separated because of the sinfulness of man. Very interesting, isn't it? In Moses' time, God would dwell in this tent among His people. But in the new covenant, God is going to dwell in the house of the flesh in the body of Jesus. I just love that. Let me just tell you a little bit more about this tabernacle. In Exodus 33, it says this, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle, there was a pillar of cloud. Everybody say the pillar of cloud. Did you hear us a little bit earlier talking about the Shekinah glory? This is what we're talking about. The cloud was so thick, and it was just, it said that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And the reason for this cloud was that God was so holy that he had to cloud His holiness or His image, because if man would see the living God, they would instantly die, because God was so holy and man had sinned and man was fallen. And so God had to cover Himself in this cloud. But we still sing about today. We still sing about the Shekinah glory come down. Amen? Represents the presence of God. And this would hover over the mercy seat. Amen. And so this is a story of God. It's really a love story. It's where God pursues fallen man, desiring to have relationship with. God is good. God radiates goodness. And there is a connection, and this is what I wanted to show you about that tabernacle, is there is a connection between mercy and His presence. The mercy seat was where the presence of God would come. This is where, like I said, where the priest would pour the blood on the from the sacrifice, and instantly the blood would be consumed by the presence of God. And so there is this connection between the mercy seat and the presence of God. Where you find mercy, you find the presence of God. And if you ever get an awareness of the mercy of God, it will lead you into the presence of God. Let me read you a couple verses here quickly. Psalm says this, "The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and what? Great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over what? All of His works." Can I just tell you something about God? God's mercy will outlast your sin. If you fall, God's mercy will still be there. His love will still be there. His kindness will still be there. I'm not talking about a license to sin. Mercy does not invite the presence of sin in your life. It actually drives it out. Psalms 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord I want you just to look at somebody next to you and tell them, say, you have someone following you. Would you do that? Just look at them. Amen. You have goodness. You have mercy. They are in hot pursuit of you. Wherever you go, you can't outrun it. You can't give mercy the slip. Mercy is following you. And if you understand this, and if you can get this concept about the mercy of God and begin to declare over your life that the mercy of God is good and it endureth forever. The Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. Amen. That will usher you into the presence of God, because the reason we stay away and at a distance is because if we think about the devil, always tries to bring up our old past, our issues from last week. Amen. From Saturday, right? And you'll never understand the presence of God without a solid understanding of the mercy of God. The next verse, Psalms 136 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of God, for why? Endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." You know what? Your natural mind will fight this. Your natural mind will not want to accept the reality of God's mercy. The devil will tell you, and your mind will tell you that you're not worthy, that God would never want to be your friend. And the devil will try to rob you of your confidence to come before God. The accuser will remind you of mistakes that you made and failures. But if you are grounded in God's mercy, you can say to Him, "Devil, you are a liar. I am a child of God." Amen. I have the blood of Jesus covering me, and His mercies are new every morning. The mercy and goodness follow me everywhere I go. Amen. God is with me. God is on my side. See, listen, once you begin to speak that in your life, once you begin to declare that, as soon as the accuser comes and begins to speak to you, and you just speak back, say, no, listen, I've got mercy and goodness. They cover me. They follow me everywhere I go. Hallelujah. Quit calling yourself unworthy. It's an assault to the grace and the mercy of God. God has made you worthy to come into His presence. I just want to tell you, just very simply this morning, is that God wants to be close to you. This is the story of God, is that He is pursuing us. He's pursuing us. When we hide in our sin, goodness and mercy still follow us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How many of you are thankful for the mercy of God? Amen. See, when we begin to live this way, when we begin to have this understanding that God's mercy is so good, that God is for us, that God is on our side. See, the problem is many of us come in here and we're weighed down with problems. We're weighed down with, you know, situations in our life. We're weighed down with our own attitudes of our own heart, and we got all this stuff. But if we would just come in here rejoicing, can you imagine what would happen if we come in here together just rejoicing in the mercy of God? Instead of talking about our problems and all the things in our life, if we just would come in rejoicing about the mercy of God. You know, there's healing in mercy. There's forgiveness in mercy. I mean, God's mercy just works in all the Scripture says. I am thankful for the mercy of God. It endures to the end. Amen? No place you can go escape the mercy of God. Look at this, Psalms 103:8, just a few more. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. Psalms 103:11 says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him." Is that amazing? Come on, somebody. Somebody say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy," right? Thank you for your grace. Look at this one, Psalms 103:17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from what? On those who fear Him, for His righteousness to their children's children." God has an inexhaustible supply of mercy towards you. Whenever you blow it, whenever you sin, run to God. Run to God. He is there. He has already paid the price for your sins. Amen. So how many of you need more of the mercy of God in your life? So real quickly, how do we get a hold of more mercy? Let me just read this to you. Hebrews 4 says in verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, speaking of Jesus, who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our what? Oh, man, don't miss that. Sometimes I want to just jump up and down and say, please, get that part. Hold fast to your confessions. What are your confessions? The mercies of the Lord endureth forever. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. Hold fast to your confessions of faith, right? That God is for you. The devil wants to take your confidence away. I hope your confidence gets built up. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. So let us therefore what? Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. The key to getting all the mercy and grace and the help you need is to simply come boldly. That's why we worship. That's why we praise God. Not because God is on an ego trip, but when we praise God and we say, God, you are awesome. God, you are merciful. God, you are gracious. It reminds me that He is merciful to me. That He's graceful to me. Amen? Did you get that? I remember I was at a conference one time, and Bono was speaking. He was talking about humanitarian stuff, and it was really good. But he said one thing, and at first I thought it was really good until I thought about it a little longer. He was talking about Christian music. He was just made this comment. He said, you know, Christian music is not really truthful. It doesn't really, it just kind of paints this rosy picture. And at first I thought, man, you know, you're kind of right, you know. But then I got to thinking about it later. I said, the reason why we sing songs of faith. That's what we are called to do. We're called to sing, even though we're singing songs of faith, even though we may not see it in our life. We may be sick in our body, but we still say, God is good. God is my healer. God is my deliverer. Amen. We may be broke, may not be able to pay our bills, but we can still say, God is my provider. We are called to call those things as not as though they were. Amen. I'm just here to tell you this. Don't let the devil take your confidence. God wants you to come boldly to His room. He's given you access into His throne room. Amen. Last verse, and I'll stop with this one. I got more, but I'll stop. I'm out of time. All right. Therefore, brother, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, since we have what? I know I'm working you, but just hang with me. We need to get this, right? We got to have confidence. Since we have confidence to enter that most holy place, we're talking about that tabernacle that represented. Now that tabernacle, we know is the presence of God, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way open for us through the what? Curtain. This is such an amazing thing. I know some of you have heard this before, but this is, to me, I still get excited when I think about that curtain in the tabernacle now has been torn because of what Jesus did when His body was torn on that cross. The thing that separated us now separates us no more because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus went through, we can go into the presence of a God. Let's go to the next verse. It says this, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. See, we can have boldness because of the mercies of God, the grace of God, the blood of Jesus. See, when you begin to declare those things, when you begin to confess those things, when you hold fast to your confessions that, you know what, I'm here not because of my own goodness. I said that this morning, we were singing, we were worshiping. I said, God, listen, if Life Song does anything good, it's not because of me. It's not because of our staff. If the worship, it's not because we got talented musicians. We have talented musicians, but they're not that talented. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we need the anointing of God. Listen, I've heard talented musicians, and we have talented musicians, and they're dead. I mean, just... I've been in services where there's talented musicians and singers that can sing beautiful and all that, and it's just dead. We need the anointing of God on our life. Amen? It's about Him. And what I'm trying to say is that, listen, I know that God is doing good things, but I want to just encourage us in the story of God to stay focused, to keep confessing the goodness of God. God, You're merciful. God, You're gracious. I'm not coming here because of my goodness. I'm not coming here because of what I have done. I'm coming here because of what You have done. Amen? When we stand before Jesus on that great judgment day, we're going to say, hey, we're not here because we were good. We're here because You were good. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Amen. God wants relationship with you. He wants fellowship with you. He's been pursuing you. If you're here, say, well, yeah, I'm just here because someone invited you. You know what? No, not really. You're here because God destined you to be here. God had a plan for you to be here. God wants you to hear that He loves you, that He is on your side. Church, I want us to go deeper in the presence of God. I want us to experience greater things than we ever have before in the presence of God. And I think that when we get this concept and we enter into worship, that's why worship is so crucial. That's why we don't skimp on worship. That's why we try to our best to just to go after it, to flow, to follow after the presence of God. And say, you know what, God, we're not going to limit you just to a 15-minute set or 20-minute set. God, we're just here to pursue You because we are in love with You, oh God. We're really just responding to His pursuit. Amen? Amen. I want you to just think for a minute. Maybe close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to just think about the mercies of God. I want you to just think about how good He's been to you. You know, the other day I did something just real stupid, and it wasn't very good. And I said, God, I want You to forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. It's kind of stupid to do. And the next thing that almost came out of my mouth is, God, I'll do better next time. I promise. I'll do better. And I, you know what, God, I need just to pray more. If I just would pray more, Then I do better. And then next thing I got is this check. The Holy Spirit said, hey, it's not about you. It's about Me. It's about My goodness. It's about the mercies of God. And I just, oh, yeah, that's right, God. I'll try to do better, but I probably won't. So I'm just going to trust in Your mercies, oh, God. I'm going to trust in Your goodness, oh, God. I'm going to trust in the fact, God, that You're going to keep the covenant. That You're going to bless me, God, even when I don't deserve to be blessed. And I'm just going to thank You for that, God. So what I'm going to do, God, is when I mess up, I'm not going to run and hide and act like, you know, I didn't do anything. God, I'm just going to admit it. I'm going to be honest before You. I'm going to say, God, I'm so glad that You love me in spite of my failures. That You love me in spite of all my stuff. God, You love me. And so, God, it makes me just want to love You more, God. Doesn't make me want to sin more. It makes me want to love You more. It makes me want to spend time in Your presence, oh God. The mercies of the Lord endures forever. Mercy of the Lord endures forever. The mercies of the Lord endures forever. The mercy seat is where the presence of God was. And I believe that if we can, in our own hearts, in our own minds, begin just to, in our spirits, begin to just enter into a place of worship and begin to just focus on the fact, oh yeah, God, you're good. That's what mercy means. It just means that He's good. He's good to us. His mercy, His goodness endures forever. And then as we pursue that, we enter into worship, we enter into the presence of God. Would you do that? Would you just lift up your voice? And would you just say, Lord, I thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I thank you for your mercies, oh God. I thank you, God, that your mercies are new every morning, oh God. I thank you, Lord. And God, there's some stuff I haven't confessed. God, I'm going to confess it right now because, God, I don't want there to be anything between us, God. I want to have freedom to worship you, God. And I just want to love you. I just want to spend time in your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Just thank Him for His mercies. Think about where He's brought you from, what He's done for you. Amen. His grace. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you just to come down the altar. I want to just tell you one more thing. Would you come down the altar with me, just the whole church? Just come down, join. I think this word that the Holy Spirit gave this to me this morning, I believe it's a word from God for our church. I wanted you just to be close as we share this. Just come on down. Everybody just come down. Come on. I felt the Lord, this is what I felt the Lord say. I felt the Lord say this to me this morning. He says, the reason He's been doing what He's doing at Life Song and just revealing Himself, and we've just had some really tremendous times in the presence of God. I really felt the Lord say because that we are being, that we have created an atmosphere of authenticity, of honesty before God. And as long as we act like we have it all together and we don't have any problems and we never make mistakes, I think God's going to bypass us. But when we get honest before God and just say, God, here we are. We're coming. We're just going to stand in your presence. God, we acknowledge that we are not perfect. We just acknowledge that you are perfect. And you know, I really believe that God spoke that to me. And then this is what I felt. I felt like, you know what? The Lord told me, I was just thinking about this. I don't know if this is a word from the Lord or not. I just felt the Lord speak this to me. Is that so many times we focus so much on our sin and our failure. Have you ever heard somebody do that? They're kind of like they're bragging about their sin. I almost want to tell them, hey, stop that, man. Mercy can trump your sin. Come on, mercy trumps your sin. The blood of Jesus trumps your sin. If we're going to brag about anything, if we're going to give glory to anything, let's give glory to God. Amen. 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 Get your confidence back. Get your confidence back to come boldly in the presence of God. I don't know what has taken your confidence, but if something has taken your confidence, get your confidence back. Get your confidence back to come boldly in the presence of God. If you have to worship your way through it, if you have to declare over and over, yes, God, your mercy endures forever. Goodness and mercy follow me. All I have the favor of God. I love when they were singing that song. I have the favor, supernatural, unstoppable, just all that stuff. It was good. Amen. The favor of God. We have to declare that in our life, that man, God is for me. God is on my side. Can we do that just for a moment? Can we just enter into a time of worship and just declare His goodness over our life? Can we declare that, God, I'm thankful that Your mercy is following me. God, I'm thankful that I have a blood covenant with You, God, that I'm in covenant relationship with You, God. I am thankful, God, that You are for me, oh God. I thank You, God, that You are on my side, oh God. Hallelujah.